Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, look, we all just came back from a number of the conferences in Vancouver, and clearly the attitude way more upbeat compared to last year, even compared to kind of late 2020. But everybody seems to just be thinking that this rally is going to continue and it is blue skies ahead for the precious metals sector. Well, in all fairness, it has been a good run for the last about 4 months now. When it comes to what really matters, though, we were chatting off mic and you very succinctly said, look, it matters the gold to S&P ratio and a breakout for gold. Take us through why you think this is hands down the most important thing to watch.
Well, I mean, there's several reasons. But first of all, if you're in a real secular bull market for precious metals, then the gold has to be outperforming the S&P. And if you actually look, I don't have the chart in front of me, but I believe it made a lower low at the end of 2021 compared to 2018 and 2016. So even though gold has moved higher, and you can look at it and say, oh, well, you know, the secular bull market started in, you know, the end of 2015, but gold hasn't outperformed the stock market. So when gold doesn't outperform the stock market, you can't have a secular bull market. And more evidence to that is how, yes, gold has done well in nominal terms, but look at silver, look at the gold stocks. I mean, they're, you know, they haven't basically really done that much in the last 7 or 8 years. I mean, they've had some good rallies here and there. But in a real bull market, you consistently make higher highs. You know, the charts are pretty simple. And, you know, obviously that was the case in the 70s and the 2000s. So for gold to really launch, I mean, for this breakout, it is setting up the gold in nominal terms. We do have this really bullish cup and handle chart. We talked about it last week. My base case is I think that probably going to have a recession. The Fed's probably going to have to cut rates. You know, that's probably enough to get gold to 2300 or 2400. But if gold doesn't break out against the S&P, then that's basically the upside that we're looking at over the next, I don't know, 6, 9, or 12 months. But if gold does break out against the S&P 500, that's confirmation of a real new secular bull market. And in that scenario, we will see everything will launch higher. I mean, that's when silver will start outperforming. You know, the stocks will really outperform. And that breakout in gold from the cup and handle pattern, that doesn't just get you to 24 or 2500. I mean, that's when gold goes to 3000, 4000 pretty quickly, I might add. So that's why it's, you know, that ratio is so important. And looking at some history, it's important to look at history because I'm looking at the stock market and, you know, I've been looking at the bear market, you know, over the last, you know, 3, 6, 9 months, and it has been following this pattern of, you know, some of the worst bear markets that we typically see. However, if we're looking at it right now, I mean, in the last month or so, I mean, this should be the time where if the market's going to continue on that path, it should really roll over and, you know, break the lows. And then, you know, you're looking at a 35, 40% bear market and not 25%, which I think is what we had. And so that, I mean, that's another really important thing, obviously, because it's part of the gold to the S&P 500 ratio. And what I'm getting at is I'm thinking, well, what if the stock market, this bear market, doesn't end up being 35 or 40%? What if it's only a 25%? What if it goes a little bit lower? It's only, you know, 28 or 29%. I mean, in that scenario, we would be looking at the stock market would be more in line with the 1960s than a secular bear of the 1970s. Now, it's important to look at from 1962 to 1968, well, it was from late 61 to late 68. So it was a 7-year period. The S&P only went up 50%. The Dow only went up 35%. So measuring these secular trends, even though the secular bull ended at the end of the 60s, really the majority of the 60s was not that great. I mean, stocks trended higher. You know, you had inflation, had this big breakout in 64, 65. And, you know, at the time, gold stocks were really one of the only kind of anti-stock market investments you could make, especially with respect to inflation. Like, you couldn't own TIPS. There weren't emerging markets. There wasn't Forex. You couldn't even buy gold. So the gold stocks had this huge breakout in 64. But if you look at the gold stocks, their ratio against the stock market, that began to move in 62. It made this huge breakout in 65, you know, above an 8 or 9 year base. And that really validated what was coming for gold stocks, at least for the rest of the decade. So interestingly, you know, gold stocks did really well then, even though the S&P was still in this kind of mild secular bull. I mean, it was really mild at the end of it. It wasn't a rip-roaring thing like the 20s or the 90s. And so if we look at what's been happening, even though based on all this, precious metals are still in a secular bear, you know, gold is getting really close. It's not that far away from making this epic breakout above 2100. But I'm thinking, to make a historical comparison, the gold against the S&P 500, that ratio is similar to the gold stocks ratio in the early to mid 1960s. I mean, if you look at just the slope of the ratio, I mean, you have this bottoming formation for 8 or 9 years. It's trying to break out. It still has some distance to go, but basically bring it all back to where we are now. Again, in nominal terms, you know, we get a recession. The Fed has to cut rates a little bit. That's probably going to be enough to get gold to break 2100. But if gold against the S&P 500 ratio, if that doesn't break out and launch higher, you're not going to get a real bull market in precious metals. The move will just be a trade. It'll be like what we saw in, you know, 2020 or 2016 and, you know, parts of 2019. It's just, you don't have a real bull market in precious metals without gold outperforming the stock market consistently over time. And so looking at these ratio charts, we do have a setup, and we can also throw GDX in there. If you look at GDX against the S&P 500, these ratio charts are just, they're just paramount over the next 12 months, I could say, that what's coming with respect to the economy and the likely recession and the rate cuts, we'll have to see if these ratios break out to the upside. If the recession is bad enough where it will enable precious metals in these ratios to break out to the upside. Because if that breakout to the upside doesn't happen, you're not going to have any legs to the nominal gains in gold. And what would happen is, you know, gold would, in that scenario, if gold maxes out at 23 or 2400, silver, you know, probably doesn't even get above 29 to 30 in that scenario. Like, that's what happens, because you're not in a real bull market. The gold silver ratio is 75 or 80 or whatever. So, I mean, that's why it's so important for all these, you know, mining stocks, all these optionality plays, silver, et cetera. You know, they're not really going to launch that much, you know, unless that ratio breaks out to the upside.
Well, Jordan, I think you lay out the case very compellingly, and I caught your presentation from the Metals Investor Forum where you went back to a couple different periods decades ago, even past the 60s, even earlier than that, where you showed bear markets in the general equities and how gold stocks performed, because at the time gold wasn't free trading. But there's some people we've asked about this idea that, hey, you know, for things to really take off and be a real bull market, gold and silver and the mining stocks need to break out against the equities, and they dismiss it with either two answers. They say, no, that's not really required. Gold can do fine just based on monetary policy. It doesn't have to break out versus equities. Or people say, hey, if the bear market continues, Jordan, and it keeps going down, it's going to suck the equities down because, hey, gold stocks are equities. They're going to get pulled down with everything. How would you respond to those two critiques that say it's not necessary for gold to really break out against the S&P, or for gold stocks to break out against the S&P, and think that it can happen irregardless of what happens in the markets?
Well, number one, that's just really a dangerous statement. There's no evidence to that whatsoever. I mean, if someone actually believes that, that's just really a dangerous statement. I maybe they're only focused on like a 3 or 6 month period, but I care about what's going to happen over the next decade. And again, we've seen the best that you can get if these ratios don't break out to the upside in favor of precious metals. The best you're going to get is just these big moves over, you know, what, 4 or 6 months. Like, that's just, you know, meaningless in the big picture. So, if they actually disagree with that idea, even beyond just a short-term move, I mean, that's just baffling to me, because that's just really, really incorrect and just really short-sighted. Now, as far as the second thing, you know, yeah, gold stocks, looking at the history, gold stocks do tend to get pulled down with the market during these bear markets. However, you know, they tend to bottom first, but also, you know, based on the worst bear markets that I've studied where they went down together, you know, gold stocks and gold as well, they tended to bottom anywhere from, like, I want to say 8 months to 12 months. after the S&P started its bear market. So if you look at this most recent bottom, which was, I don't know, September, October, I mean, it was 8 or 9 or 10 months in, something like that. So that kind of follows the history. And if you look at the 2000 to 2002, that longer bear market, the last year of it, or even more than the last year, gold stocks went up while the stock market still went much lower. And, you know, that was similar during the Great Depression. And in the 1970s, you had the actually from 73 to 78, I think the two were really inversely correlated. When the stock market went up, precious metals went down. When the stock market was going down or sideways, that's when precious metals went up. So that's some history for you. I mean, generally, yes, gold stocks will fall with the stock market. However, once you get past 8, 9, 10, or 12 months, that's when it's really ripe. You can see a divergence. And so with respect to where we are now, if we see the market going a lot lower and taking out 3,500, number one, that could be a signal that maybe we are in the 70s already and this is not the 60s, you know, where the S&P really loses the 40-month moving average. That's a signal of a secular bear market in equities, which we know is super, super bullish for precious metals. And looking back, if I'm looking back, when the S&P actually lost the 40-month moving average, I'd have to go back to, I think, 1969 or 70 or so. And then in, I want to say, late 2000, early 2001, actually, precious metals, or at least gold and or gold stocks, bottomed around the time that happened. So given where we are now, I mean, thinking about how this might play out in this scenario, we'd see the S&P roll over. It would come down. You know, the 40-month is at 3,800. I would think the beginning of that move, you would see precious metals and miners and silver especially, they would probably sell off with the stock market, wherever it is right now, 4,100 or 4,050. That would come down, you know, it breaks below 3,800, the 40-month. And I think at that point, when it is below the 40-month, I think that's probably when you would see precious metals really start to diverge. And the reason is because policy would really shift. I mean, if the stock market is coming down in that fashion, it loses that important moving average, then what's going to set in is that the market is it's discounting a recession, basically. And, you know, inflation expectations would continue to plunge. You know, the Fed they've already done all these hikes. The rate of inflation is coming down. So in that scenario, the market would start to sniff out, well, at some point, the Fed's going to have to cut rates. And so we know in that scenario, that would be really bullish for gold because, you know, real interest rates would then decrease. And, you know, I think that in that scenario, you know, that happens, then you get gold breaking out past 2,100, and then gold's in position for a really strong move. And I think that's when the gold stocks and the miners and silver would then really move and start to outperform. And so then, I mean, again, in this scenario, I don't know when the stock market would bottom, you know, 3 months after that, or it would probably be 3 to 6 months after that. So I think that's what could be the setup in this scenario. I mean, we're too far past the point where gold stocks would get taken down with the stock market, but they would initially. Again, if the market rolls over, I think the first like third of that decline, gold stocks would go down with the market.
So Jordan, can we dive into, I guess, some of the numbers in terms of what that ratio would need to be, the S&P to gold? Because right now I have the S&P to gold ratio chart up. It only goes back 20 years because I'm on stock charts, but let's just round it off to 2. The S&P is worth double as much as gold. Down at the peak of gold in 2011, the S&P was worth 60% of gold. So gold was almost worth double what the S&P was worth. What signifies that breakout? Or is it simply just seeing, again, gold moving higher while the S&P breaks down? There isn't a certain level, like, say, 1-to-1 or anything that you're looking at.
Okay, well, first of all, I would say flip the chart around so you can look at gold divided by the S&P. But nevertheless, in your case, I would say you would want to see that ratio go below the 2016 and 2020 peaks, basically. I mean, that's really, it needs to, regardless of whether you're looking at gold divided by or the S&P divided by gold, the ratio has to take out the 2016 and 2020 levels. You know, you can look at intraday prices and all that, but generally 0.65 that would be my level for gold against the S&P. It's at 0.48 right now. So, I mean, that's a pretty good distance. There's really two levels right now. Right now you have 0.50, and that's the high from last year. So first things first, the ratio has to take that out. If it takes that out convincingly, then it's probably going to test 0.65 at some point. And I think that I would say, you know, the ratio running up from here to 0.65, which would be, I mean, you're like at 8 or 9 year resistance, then at that level, I mean, that's probably enough to get gold to 2,300, 2,400. If and when it's able to break above that level, again, that's confirmation of a real bull market, a new secular bull market. You know, in that scenario, that's going to give gold enough fuel to get to 3,000, 4,000 pretty quickly. Then you would see silver continue up to 50, maybe a little bit above it. The stocks would do really well, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, that's basically circling back. You have 0.50, which is the first level, and then you have about 0.65.
All right, John. Hey, thanks for these insights. Look, I know everyone's getting excited right now. Everybody was excited at these conferences, rightfully so. Prices have gone up. We have seen stocks even improve, but it has been, for the most part, across the board. Yes, gold has outperformed the S&P, at least recently, really for the last about, recently, let's say. But hey, you've outlined some pretty defined levels that we need to see for that more long-term bullish gold market. Jordan, as always, thanks for your time, buddy. This was a very interesting conversation. And now, because we are recording this before the Fed meeting, all we have to do is wait for that volatility on the back of the Fed meeting. Undoubtedly, people are going to make a big deal out of whichever way markets move. Thanks for your time, Jordan. We'll chat next week.